We have 5 weeks left in 2018, and we need $103,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2018. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here is the headline from a recent Washington Post at the health section. Number of abortions in U.S. hit historic low in 2015, the most recent year for which data is available. Now, that's good news. The media's explanation, of course, is that usually what we're hearing from pro-choice groups is that contraception, now widely available, is accounting for the drop, the more or less constant drop since the 1980s of the number of abortions and the abortion rate. And by the way, what is the difference between those two things? We're going to be answering some of those questions as we talk about declining abortion numbers in the U.S. Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and author of a recent column for National Review Online titled U.S. Abortion Rate Continues to Decline According to CDC Data. Dr. New, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
What do you make of the media's coverage of these abortion numbers from 2015?
It's always disappointing. I think that declining abortion numbers should be a great cause for celebration, but the mainstream media never gives pro-lifers any credit. Typically, they don't reach out to pro-life groups for commentary whenever, and they also typically give contraception most, if not all, the credit. So it's just disappointing that there's a lot of good reasons related to pro-life work that abortion numbers are falling, but the mainstream media never gives pro-lifers any real credit for this.
So how do you respond to the common explanation that easy access to contraception has driven down the abortion numbers?
Well, the best explanation is simply put that the unintended pregnancy rate has been fairly stable since the early 80s. That essentially, if it is true that more people are using contraception, but if contraception is so effective, the question I always ask is why isn't the unintended pregnancy rate falling sharply? And it's not. It's been fairly stable for much of the time since 1980. It's fallen a little bit, but it hasn't really fallen by much. A much better explanation for the abortion decline is due to the fact that a higher percentage of unintended pregnancies are being carried to term. And I think that shows that pro-life laws are effective, that pro-life efforts to change hearts and minds have been effective, and the service things pro-lifers do through pregnancy help centers have been effective as well.
What is the difference between the abortion rate and the number of abortions?
The abortion rate is roughly the fraction of women of childbearing age who have an abortion in any given year. So that's roughly the percentage of women of childbearing age who have an abortion in a year. Number of abortions just simply tallies up the total number of abortions. The abortion rate, I think, is a better statistic to use. Sometimes fluctuations in population or fluctuations in the population of childbearing women can sometimes affect the number of abortions. When you look at the rate, you can kind of how common abortions are. And the good news is the abortion rate has fallen by 50% since 1980. It's actually lower than it was in 1973. Roe v. Wade was decided. And again, I think that shows that a lot of pro-life activities have been effective.
Talk a little bit more about those activities as an explanation for the decline in the number of abortions. What's working there, do you think, that is essentially changing hearts and minds?
I think there's a good body of research that a lot of different pro-life laws are effective. We do know that cutting off public funding or taxpayer funding for abortion, that gets abortion numbers down. In 1976, pro-lifers passed the Hyde Amendment. That places some strict limits on the ability of the federal government to subsidize abortion through Medicare or Medicaid, I should say. We've done analysis of that. My study for the Lozier Institute has found that it saved over 2 million lives since 1976, and analyses by even groups that support legal abortion have also found that it's been effective at stopping abortion. There's good research showing that parental involvement laws have made it less likely that minor girls will go ahead and get abortions. So we have good research showing that different kinds of pro-life laws have been effective. That said, abortion numbers are falling, even in states that aren't active passing pro-life laws. So support this legislation. We have seen some good shifts in public opinion. I also think that the life-saving work of pregnancy help centers have helped millions of women who faced unintended pregnancies. So I think it's a variety of things. Legislation, it's education, and it's also service.
How do the numbers differ depending on the age of the woman?
It's interesting. We've seen abortion declines amongst nearly all demographic groups. We've seen the sharpest and largest declines amongst teenagers, interestingly. The overall rate's dropping, but the rate amongst teenagers has dropped even faster. And there's been actually a very sharp decline in the teen pregnancy rate. The teen pregnancy rate has declined by over 60% since the early 90s. That's a very big public policy success story. It doesn't get as much attention as it probably should. And there's a variety of reasons for this. There is some evidence that sexually active teenagers are more likely to use contraception, but there's also good evidence that teens are less sexually active. We have data from both the National Survey of Family Growth and the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, two nationwide surveys that are widely used by researchers. They both show that both teenage boys and teenage girls are less sexually active than they used to be, so that's playing a big role in the teen abortion decline.
Do the numbers differ depending on the race of the woman?
Yes, there have always been some demographic differences in abortion numbers. You know, typically, low-income women have a higher abortion rate than higher-income women. Also, we do see a higher incidence of abortion amongst African-Americans and Hispanic women than amongst white women. So yeah, we do see some disparities based on race. Again, the numbers are falling amongst all racial groups, but statistically, African-American women and Hispanic women tend to have a higher incidence of abortion than white women.
Is this due in part to the fact that organizations like Planned Parenthood actively, for lack of a better word, market abortion in neighborhoods that are largely African American?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think part of it is just kind of the income disparities. But part of it is that Planned Parenthood does tend to be more prevalent in areas with a high percentage of African American women. You know, it's well known in pro-life circles that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, you know, was a racist. She did believe in eugenics. And again, Planned Parenthood does tend to be a lot more prevalent in African-American neighborhoods than they are elsewhere.
How do you account for, then, in the general sense, for the decline of abortion since the 1980s? It peaked, I believe, in the mid-1980s, somewhere thereabouts.
Well, the number of abortions peaked in 1990 or 91. The abortion rate peaked in 1980. We saw a big surge after the Roe v. Wade decision, and then it kind of plateaued around 1980 or 81, and it's fallen consistently every year since then. And the best explanation, by and large, is that, again, a higher percentage of unintended pregnancies are being carried to term. Then again, we've seen some decline in the unintended pregnancy rate, but not a big decline. I think we've seen a far greater gains in the sense that unintended pregnancies, are being carried to term, and it's a variety of things that pro-lifers are doing. I don't think it's any one thing. Part of it is legislation, passing protective laws. Part of it is we've changed hearts and minds. We see more people identifying as pro-life. We've actually made some impressive gains amongst young people. There used to be a big generation gap on this issue as far as public opinion went, where the elderly were very pro-life and younger people were very sympathetic to legal abortion. That generation gap has diminished. Many surveys do show that young people seem very receptive to pro-life arguments and pro-life ideas. And we have pregnancy help centers. There's over 2,700 of them. There's more pregnancy help centers and abortion facilities. They do an excellent job helping out a lot of women who don't want to pursue abortions. They help in terms of providing material support, spiritual support, public health help, and they're doing great work as well.
Why don't all 50 states report abortion numbers?
Because abortion reporting requirements are weak. The CDC really can't make states report abortions. Reporting seems kind of voluntary. I think the pro-life movement, frankly, should have made this and should make this a high priority. That I think the number of abortions is an important statistic. It can show a lot about how effective sex education programs are, contraception programs. These data are important and valuable for a variety of reasons. But unfortunately, reporting requirements just tend to be pretty weak. Sadly, California has not reported any abortion data to the CDC since 1997. I think that's really unfortunate, and it's something I'd like to see the Trump administration pursue.
Are so-called medical or drug-induced abortions included in the Guttmacher or the CDC numbers?
Yes, both the CDC and Guttmacher do include chemical abortions, those done with RU486. So that's included in the data. Now, it's possible those might be undercounted a bit, but I'd always like to remind listeners that RU486 was approved by the FDA in 2000, and abortion figures were falling kind of well before that. So it's not like there's these phantom abortions causing the decline. Declines are real. It is possible that chemical abortions may be undercounted, but I think we have pretty good data suggesting that there have been real declines in the incidence of abortion.
The numbers sit right around the mid-650,000 per year, and that's a tragic number in and of itself. But how far underreported in general do you think the abortion numbers really are? You look at the data all the time.
I think that the Guttmacher data is probably fairly reliable. I mean, they do a survey of abortion facilities. Since Guttmacher was Planned Parenthood's research arm, probably abortion facilities probably do trust them with the data. And the big difference between Guttmacher and the CDC is that Guttmacher does get data, or can at least extrapolate data, from California and from a couple of the other states that don't report. And the Guttmacher figures indicate that the overall number is probably in the high 800,000s. And that's a real tragedy. But it's important to know that at one point the abortion numbers were over 1.5, 1.6 million. And again, I wish we could do more faster, but it's important to remember that we have made some good progress.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, Dr. New, what do pro-lifers, what should they take away from the new numbers?
I hope that pro-lifers are heartened, that sometimes pro-life work isn't always fun or glamorous. Sometimes it's easy to get frustrated. We've been trying to overturn Roe v. Wade since 1973, and we have not been able to do so just yet. But I think it's important to remember we're making progress on some other ways as well. And I think one important way we've made progress is getting abortion numbers down. So again, I wish that we could do more faster, but I think we should take some heart that we are making some very good progress, and I think we should keep up the life-saving efforts that we've been doing.
Dr. Michael New is Visiting Assistant Professor of Social Research and Political Science at Catholic University of America. He's Associate Scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and author of a recent column for National Review Online titled U.S. Abortion Rate Continues to Decline According to CDC Data. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. New, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You can listen to Scott Klusendorf's presentation, Making the Case for Life, on a recording of our spring and fall Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. We'll send you an audio DVD or thumb drive for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. You can order online at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please write your preference of either DVD or flash drive on the memo line of your check. When we come back, we continue our series on Lutheran catechesis with Pastor Peter Bender. We'll be talking about the Fourth Commandment, the Old Testament account of Absalom, and the New Testament account of Jesus as a boy in the temple. Stay tuned. Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc. What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2018? Find out in the November issue of the Lutheran Witness. This special edition is filled with information on global mercy work, missions, membership statistics, schools, and more, offering readers a big-picture look at the LCMS around the world. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.